We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So let's try and sort out this college football mess. Two conferences, the Mid-America Conference and today the Mountain West, announcing there's not going to be any football this fall. Are these the only two or just the first two? Let's bring in Brian Broaddus. He's with our sister station, 105.3 The Fan. He's upstairs. He's got a good view.
Yeah, he does.
And he's with us right now on KRLD. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So yesterday there was the announcement that there was a report anyway that the Big Ten, which has 14 teams, by the way.
And the Pac-12.
The Big Ten had pulled the plug on its season, but there's been no official announcement. So we're kind of in a state of flux, certainly with the Power Five conferences. What is the latest, Brian?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, though. You're just kind of like everyone else. We're just monitoring what's going on. But, you know, you have these coaches, you know, and they're in camps right now. Their players are in camp with them. They've gone through the procedures, things that the university have asked them to do as far as, you know, making sure the well-being of the kids has been taken care of. You know, so they're in a situation right now where they want to play. And then you look at what the university presidents are thinking about long term is, you know, really the health of the kids. And, you know, I know from my experiences of working in college athletic departments, there's sometimes a disconnect between what the athletic department would like to do and then what the presidents of the university and the board of directors would like to do. So, you know, right now I think that you have coaches around the country, kids around the country that would like to try and play. You know, they feel safe in their environment. Now, there's some conferences that I don't believe can really assure the safety of their kids. You know, we've seen some of the smaller conferences say we can't play because of, I think, financial situations. But you have programs like the Power Five. You know, you have Ohio State, Michigan, you know, Notre Dame. Those are the teams that, you know, can't afford the testing and can afford to do the things to keep their team safe. So I think you have the haves that really would like to play and like to continue on because of the financial impact of what it could cost their university. And then the have-nots are like, listen, we can't afford to do what it takes in order for this to have be safe. So I think that's where we're at right now.
Let's talk about the financial impact, because as you said, you've worked at the college level. That universities, you know, rely on the revenue from football. If there's no football, what could happen to other sports?
Well, you know, I know that Scott Frost at Nebraska was talking about the financial impact of the university there. But you do have some programs that have huge endowments. You know, I know for a fact, you know, Stanford was one of the first programs to just cut a lot of their sports, men and women's sports, you know, just not football, but, you know, other sports. And, you know, they've got over $29 billion of an endowment there. So, you know, these need the money. Now, we, you know, look what happened at Penn State with the Sandusky scandal that went on there with, you know, and Penn State had to pay out huge amounts. What's going on at Michigan State, you know, with the doctor that was with the gymnastics department, you know, huge money being paid out. These universities, some do have the endowment, some do have the ability to fight on, but I think the college towns itself, and I went to school at LSU, you know, Baton Rouge, when they have to deal with, you know, college football weekend at the city, you know, it's a huge financial windfall for them. So I think those are the people that are going to get hurt in the long run. And football does fund a lot of the other sports that we see play, men and women, so just on the lower level.
So no college football in some parts of the country, that would be just whatever. Yeah, but there, I mean, you take Texas, take the Southeast. If the Big 12 or the SEC pull the plug on this? Wow. Be a lot of angry fans, I would think.
Oh, no, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of folks, and, you know, and you don't want to make it a political thing, but there's a, you know, there's a lot of people. You know, Texas has pushed through with a lot of their pandemic thoughts, you know, and trying to stay open. There's, you know, states along the southeast, eastern part of the United States that have fought to stay open, you know. And, again, I don't ever like to try and mix politics and sports, but, you know, you've got some states that are saying, hey, we're open, we're going to push, going. You know, that's kind of their mindset, where some other states are like, listen, this is not going to get any better anytime soon. You know, we don't want to see, you know, any further spikes here. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot going on right now. And you know, there's a lot of people around the country, especially in the southeast and, you know, in the southwest, that are, you know, they want to see football play because they understand that, you know, the financial windfall that it does help them.
Brian, a lot of schools are talking about, like you were talking about Baton Rouge. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. Same
right.
thing, you know. But a lot of schools are talking about just moving the season to the spring. Is that an answer?
Yeah. Well, it's a possibility. You know, the Ivy League has already thought about that, but the Ivy League plays, you know, a smaller schedule. They don't, you know, they don't have the big money games. They play each other. You know, they could get the season done in a couple of months. Where if you're talking about, you know, the worry would be, okay, if you start the season in say January, you know, you have a better handle on things. You understand protocols better. You get, maybe have a vaccine. You know, maybe January makes sense. And people will argue, well, you know, okay, you're going to play football January, February, March. And then when are you going to restart for the following college season? Are you going to go back? Are we going to have spring? Are we going to have a fall camps and stuff like that? Are these kids going to play? Now, again, they're 20, 18, 19, 20 years old. You feel like that they could bounce back if they have to. But there's a concern about, you know, playing a lot of football in a calendar year, especially with all the concerns, as I said, about health and then safety as far as player safety. And that's not talking about the concussions and injuries and stuff. And so the question is, how many games can you get in and then turn around and play football again in the fall if you're available to do that?
Exactly.